You know, the Arctic doesn't always like mild weather because it means more melting. And with that melting, we are seeing rising sea levels. So here's something that we all need to do in preparation for our next topic here on London Live. Can we all remember the last time we were walking in a forest? Maybe it was this past weekend. It was family day. It was mild enough to walk in a forest, if you could find a good forest to walk in. Maybe some boots were necessary. But let's even picture that it's really nice. Let's say when it gets to be either spring or fall, great times to go for a walk along a trail. You've got the trees, you've got the smells, the birds, the little critters running around. Forest, right? Just a hive of activity. Great place to be. Okay, so imagine that forest that you're picturing in your mind right now, the big trees, green leaves, all of the forest sounds and smells. Imagine all of that stuff was gone. So the trees are still kind of there, but instead of this being dry ground, it's pretty soggy. In fact, you may not even be able to walk in it. That right there is what some forests are becoming. This boggy, marshy place, and the trees are no longer healthy. And there is some thought that rising sea levels have a lot to do with this. So we wanted to find out a little bit more about what has been named a ghost forest as these continue to pop up along the coasts. So we were able to track down science reporter for Front Matter, Amy McDermott from PNAS News. And Amy helped us to learn a little bit more about what a ghost forest is.
Ghost forests are woodlands that are rapidly drowning. They're converting to marsh because of sea level rise. And this is happening when flooding and higher high tides push inland, especially in low-lying areas of the East Coast from Canada all the way down to the southern United States. And then as the trees drown, marsh pushes in.
So give us an idea of maybe a place or two. You mentioned along parts of Canada and the United States. What's a specific spot where we've seen ghost forests form?
So the mid-Atlantic of the United States around the Chesapeake Bay is one hotspot. That's an area that I focused on my reporting for this story in Front Matter from PNAS. There's a lot of research happening here, for example, in DC on what's going on with these ghost forests. And that work is both mapping the forests to see how big they're becoming and also possibly what's causing them. Although there are some open questions about exactly how these forests are dying.
So if we're to picture what one of these looks like, Amy, a forest itself has trees. A ghost forest still has trees, but how do those trees look?
You know, the way that I would describe it is like toothpicks sticking up out of the ground, poking up into the sky. The trees are clearly not doing well. They are dead or dying. Many of them don't have branches anymore, certainly don't have leaves. They're just sticking straight up. You might see a few of these typically around the banks of a marsh or estuary, but this is a lot more than usual.
We're talking with Amy McDermott, science reporter with Front Matters, the science journalism section of the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. And we're talking about ghost forests. As Amy says, they look like toothpicks sticking up from the ground, but we're talking massive toothpicks. We're talking full-size trees. So is this the ocean water that has come in and turned this into a marshy area that's then unhealthy for the trees? Or what has turned them into these toothpicks?
So that's actually a great question. That's a question that researchers are asking now. Exactly how are these forests drowning? So what scientists know is that a combination of gradual sea level rise over years, paired with punctuated floods during storms and high tides, so much more rapid events, are the primary physical stressors for the trees. And that comes from Holly Michael, who is a hydrologist at the University of Delaware. What she told me is that sea level rise is pushing up the water table. So the groundwater is rising up and up closer to the surface, and that's getting tree roots wet, which they don't necessarily like. And that, paired with high tides and storm surge flooding, is making the soil soggier and saltier in these low-lying areas than in healthy forests. But whether it's the prolonged waterlogging or the salt or what, some feedback is actually an active question now. There's a National Science Foundation funded project that Holly Michael is leading, tracking what's going on here.
And in terms of what's going on, obviously there are a lot of questions still to be answered in all of this. Is anybody wondering if maybe this is just one of those things that happens, and we know a lot of things on the Earth have adapted to many different conditions over the years? Is this just another opportunity for adaptation, and all of a sudden we're hitting the pause button at one point in time, or is this maybe being looked at in a different way?
That's a great question. That's not something that I discussed in depth with the folks that I talked to throughout this reporting, but I will say, in my experience as a science journalist, I've talked to a fair number of tree researchers who are really concerned about the ability of trees and forests to adapt to changing conditions because these are not like animals. You know, they can't run, they can't move, they can't pick up their roots and walk somewhere else that's dry. In this case, you know, these creatures, these plants are stuck in place. And the speed with which this change is happening is faster than certainly many individual trees are going to be able to adapt. That said, there was some interesting research that I highlighted in the story about the way that plant biomass overall may be increasing upland of these forest die-offs. Ultimately, what could be going on is that even though the ghost forests are dying at these low elevations, the conversion to marsh cover may lead to an increase in net plant biomass, which could store more carbon long term, potentially. So there are some questions about what those carbon trade-offs are actually going to look like in the coming decades.
Lots to study. We're talking with Amy McDermott with Front Matter, the science journalism section of the Proceedings of National Academy of Sciences, or PNAS. Amy, or PNAS, I guess, right?
Sure, yes,
Okay.
PNAS.
Yeah. Or PNAS. Amy, obviously the investigation will continue. This doesn't sound like a place where it's going to have any kind of risk of being a tourist stop, because walking around in marshy bog type land, not really something that people are going to do. So is this just one of those things that is going to be documented as it happens, and we're kind of in a wait and see?
That's absolutely a good point. You know, I think there are a lot of communities, especially coastal communities, that depend on tourism today, where these ghost forests are going to change what life looks like in those communities and who is coming there. You know, if the Airbnb that you rent out all of a sudden has a flooded septic system, or your front yard has 2 inches of water in it, so when people, you know, get out of the car and come up to the front door, they're squelching through mud. That's going to be a much less attractive place potentially for tourists to visit. So there is some discussion about how predicting where ghost forests are going to spread next could help lead homeowners to make informed decisions about what they do with their land. For example, putting it into conservation easements so that the land might be reclaimed by marsh rather than continue to be housing, for example. That's going on in the Chesapeake and a few other areas.
Fascinating stuff. Amy, we always appreciate your look at science and how it's impacting the rest of us. Thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you. Much appreciated. Always good to be here.
Amy McDermott, science reporter for Front Matter and from PNAS News, and somebody who has done a lot of great reporting about things like that that are happening, things like that that are changing in our Earth's landscape. So if it does turn out to be that seawater that's coming in and causing the issues, yeah, what's next? Because we always think, oh, well, if sea waters rise, New Orleans is going to be underwater, or Miami is going to be underwater, or pick your part of the coast. But it doesn't quite happen that fast. So what we're seeing here is something we probably should keep our eyes on. So we'll continue to do that on this show.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.